Yes. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That'd be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, we got a few little pieces of breaking news before I jump right into my topics. Number one, Secretary of State Antony Blinken just boarded the plane to head to Israel himself personally. So he is going over there in part to deal with the crisis on the ground, but also in part, I'm sure, to deal with the question of American lives and those that are maybe being held hostage. So anyway, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken en route to Israel. Glad to see it. On a much more localized level, Carly Russell, remember her, Boomer? Remember that? She's the one who, right down there on 459 in Birmingham, she said, "I saw a toddler on the side of the road," and I pulled over and turned out she faked the whole thing.
Yep.
Just found guilty of faking her abduction. The judge has now recommended a year in jail plus $17 million in restitution. $17 million in restitution.
$17 million.
I'm pretty sure that's a lot more than she took out of the till when she left the beauty shop she was working at.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ooh. Wow. That just happened. And then the other piece that just happened, I just saw a tweet. Don't know if it's accurate or not. I mentioned to you a minute ago, all of you, that, you know, apparently in their caucus meeting, the Republicans voted and Steve Scalise had the majority of the votes to be the next speaker. For the Republicans as their nominee. But I'm seeing a tweet here that says that Representative Barry Moore of Alabama, a member of the Freedom Caucus, said that he was considering voting for Scalise, but he has changed his mind after a Freedom Caucus meeting. He says some conservatives are concerned that Scalise is a rubber stamp for McCarthy, so he will vote for Jordan on the floor. That means it's not a done deal, if that's accurate. More to come on this. I just hope they don't go to the floor and turn into a huge tussle. And you know, at this point, it's going to be Scalise or Jordan. And if you go in there and you don't have the votes for Jordan, you're going to have to rally at some point behind Scalise. But I will say this. The Freedom Caucus has probably earned the right for some concessions. And they want some things. And they want to know they're not going to be stripped of any opportunities for conservative policy. So we'll see what happens. That's ongoing as we speak. All right, let me jump in there. So Get Busy Living, that's number one of the Triple Dipper. And coming up top of the hour, Emily Jones, who heads up the Madison chapter of Moms for Liberty, will be on with us for a reason. My reason in doing this is because of that monologue I just did. I said despair is not an option. You know, rub some dirt on it and get moving. We don't have time for sitting around going, woe is us, the world is mean. And first of all, if you believe that things were better off before the last election, then you got to get real busy between now and the next election, right? And we can't have any of this, well, I just don't know that I can vote for Trump because of his personality. If he's the nominee, then by God, you got to vote for him because we're stuck with Biden otherwise. I mean, is that what you want? So the truth of the matter is this. We got things to do politically, but we got things to do just in our neighborhoods. Conservatives cannot sit idly by and let the world go to hell in a handbasket and go, well, you know, what do you do? Well, you don't do nothing, that's for sure. There's things you can do right there in your own sphere of influence. You'd be amazed what you could. You change one life. You do one thing that speaks to a person's moment. I guarantee you, you'll have no idea what the multiplier effect is. In the military, we have a thing we call it force multipliers. That's where maybe you're not the fighter. You're not the guy in the foxhole. You're not the one with the big weapon system. But you are something that enables the one in the foxhole to do what they do best. You're a force multiplier. You come in and you expand the capabilities. You come in and you provide something that helps shape the battle space. You come in and you do something that provides the logistics or other things you need in a combat zone. You're a force multiplier. Don't ever stop and think of yourself as being someone who, well, you know, it's just little old me. What could I possibly do? Let me tell you this one. Here's a great story. I actually got this off a website called the Good News Network. Gotta love that. Dateline, October 2nd. So apparently in West Virginia, a group of kids working at a Starbucks. Apparently, everybody that works at Starbucks is not a bunch of flaming liberals that are self-centered. I'm just shocked by this, apparently. It's there are good people working at Starbucks. I know.
There's, for all you coffee drinkers out there.
There are apparently some good baristas out there. Anyway, Starbucks on Marshall University's campus in Huntington, West Virginia. There was a lady there named Karen Collinsworth. She's 65 years old. And she was loved by all the employees. She was like everybody's mom. And, you know, one girl who's a sophomore at Marshall said she loved coming to work knowing that when Cassie or Karen was going to be there because she's like her mom away from home and somebody she could talk to. And anyway, so Karen Collinsworth apparently fell on some hard times. She had an older car that was always giving her trouble, a 2004 Kia, I believe. And it was burglarized. And then it was damaged. And then somebody stole the catalytic converter. And basically, her car was put out of operation by other people. So the folks that she worked with decided, you know what? Let's do something right. And these are college kids who just decided to do something. And so they set up an account, and they began. And everybody on campus knew Karen at Starbucks. And she said, the girl says, we all talked about it. We floated the idea of doing a fundraiser. So after work, I decided to sort of make it up on my own online, and we told all our friends, put it on our Instagrams and everything else. As of September 15th, they have raised $40,000 for her, which started, by the way, with a $5,000 single donation from the president of Marshall University. That's huge, y'all. And by the way, don't tell me you can't do something if a group of college kids can change a person's life like that. That's the kind of thing that happens. How about this? In the wake of all that's going on in Israel, you may be thinking, golly, what do I do? Well, pray, first of all. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Get on it. Pray. But then when it comes to the do, how do you put your faith into action? Well, how about this? October 11th, Fox News, that would be today, brand new story. An anonymous donor went and stood by the El Al Airlines. Is it El Al? I think it is. I'm trying to find the name of the airline. Yeah, El Al, which is the Israeli Airlines. Avi Meyer, the editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, shared a heartwarming story on Twitter saying that a benevolent donor had gone and stood at the El Al counter at New York's JFK airport. Israel has called up so many reservists. By the way, a lot of Israeli reservists are dual citizens, and they actually, because in Israel, any Jew in the world is allowed to immigrate and apply for citizenship. So what's happening is there are reservists that are right here in the United States, and Israel has called up over 300,000 reservists. I mean, this is a massive, when you consider the fact that the United States Army is 450,000, and little bitty Israel has called up 300,000. That gives you an indication of the level of mobilization they're on. Well, a bunch of them are here. So this one dude, he went and stood at the El Al counter. And anybody who walked up to the counter saying that they had been mobilized for duty in Israel, he paid for their plane ticket. Dude bought 250 plane tickets to Israel that day, just stood there buying anyone's plane ticket who came up. I'm just telling you. You can get busy living, and you may not have the resources to do that kind of thing, but the kids on that college campus at Marshall, they didn't have personal money. They had the widow's mite, but they were just dropping it in as they could. They raised $40,000. This one dude apparently had resources that go way beyond something like that. He went down there and personally paid for 250 plane tickets, just stood there waiting for someone to come in and say, I've been mobilized, and he said, I'm going to pay your way. You're not going to pay your own way. What I'm saying is this. Do something. Find your place. In a minute, we're going to come back from this break. I'm going to take a break about a minute earlier than usual just so I can come back and have the best amount of time with this. I found an article this morning on Fox News. It's called Five Ways That Ronald Reagan Can Save America. Because, see, part of what Ronald Reagan believed in was the power of the American spirit in the individual. He didn't believe in government being the answer. He believed that it was you and I. He believed in the core qualities of America being vested in the faith and the patriotism of the individual. We'll talk about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Coming up in a few minutes, top of the hour, call with Emily Jones from Madison Chapter of Moms for Liberty. And we'll just kind of continue this same thread of a conversation with her. But let me tell you what kicked this off for me. So this morning, as I was getting the show ready early this morning, came across this article. And I thought, yep, there we go. That fits not only my monologue that I wrote last night, but it also fits where I kind of want to take the show. I'm so sick right now of the news being what it is. And I'm sorry that it is, and we got to talk about it. We can't put our heads in the sand. We can't pretend that the world is not, you know, going nuts around us. What we can determine is how we react to it. So there's that. So if you are of the mind, I mean, first of all, I will say this. Every once in a while, you do have to tune out, all right? Every once in a while, you got to turn off the constant barrage of negative clickbait news and go, I need a moment. You know, go watch an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond and turn off the news for a little bit. But then come back to it and be aware of your times. And that's scriptural. Be aware of your times and what we should do. Well, Ronald Reagan, this piece came off of Fox News. The headline is, and it's a Dateline today. You can find it if you want to. All the resources are up on the website. By the way, anytime you hear me rattling the paper, Boomer puts the resources that I've pulled together in the morning up there for you. So if you go to our rightsideradio.org website, rightsideradio.org, click on the live stream page right above the image of the live stream of the video from our studio. You'll see a button that says resources. All of these articles are on there. And this one is five ways that Ronald Reagan can save America. Freedom, never more than one generation from extinction. That's the headline. And they point out that, you know, this article even points out that it was really 17 long, difficult years of American, you know, upheaval, if you will. The world stage being difficult. They cite things like the quagmire of Vietnam, the failed presidency of Lyndon Johnson, the resignation of Richard Nixon, the Iran hostage crisis, social and economic malaise of the Jimmy Carter administration. All of it felt like a nation in decline, and then came Reagan. And I'm not going to try and just say Reagan was the savior, but you know what? Leadership makes a difference. There's an old saying that as goes the king, so goes the country. Well, Reagan came in, and he led in a different direction, and he inspired. That's the thing. It says that Reagan countered the appearance of cultural decay with a pro-growth economic policy and an investment in American muscularity. You got to love that. He says he also invested political capital in the nation's spiritual rebirth. The patriotism, faith, family, individualism, and the belief that the best days for America were still ahead. And that is true, and that's what we remember. Those of us who were around and really watching during the Reagan era, that's exactly what we saw. One quote from Reagan in this article says, "The solution will not be found in the social workers' files or the psychiatrist's notes or the bureaucrats' budgets. It's a problem of the human heart, and it's there we must look for the answer." Meaning that what Reagan felt was necessary was for the American citizen to be inspired, because he knew that it was the faith and patriotism of individual Americans that was going to make the difference. So here's five things that Reagan stood for that the article points out. Number one, Reagan stood for the belief that you have to recognize evil exists in the world. In other words, don't shy away from it. And oh, by the way, don't equivocate and don't ever let yourself drop into moral equivalency. He says that too much of the world at that time was getting to the point that it was like, well, you know, they've got their reasons for disagreeing with us and they're bad, but maybe sometimes we're bad too. No. Reagan utterly rejected the concept, it says, most notably by calling out the Soviet Union as an evil empire. He made waves. Listen, if you go read some of the memoirs of those who served with him, they were nervous as cats. like literally cats on a hot tin roof when Reagan was absolutely adamant he was going to go out there and say the Soviet Union's the evil empire. Oh, Mr. President, I just don't think you shouldn't. I don't know about that. Well, here's the deal. He wanted to push their buttons, and he wanted the world to know that we see you for what you are, and we're not going to shy away from it. It says here he called the Soviets what they were, and it altered the equation. And from that time on, the Soviets were on the defensive. All of Reagan's actions were what brought about the future collapse of the Soviet Union. So number one, he was not afraid to see evil and call it what it was. Number two, he believed that it was more important to have faith in God than it was in government. He often quoted Puritan leader John Winthrop about American settlements being the city on a hill. And he said that, in his words, it was necessary that the being a city on a hill, if you pulled away the beacon of faith, the beacon of freedom would no longer shine, he says. And in one speech in 1984, Reagan said this. He said, when men try to live in a world without God, it's only too easy for them to forget the rights that God bestows. It's too easy then to suppress the freedom of speech and to build walls to keep your countrymen in and to jail dissidents and to put great thinkers in the mental wards. So yeah, Reagan was fine with saying faith over government. Here's number three. We talked about at length this week. I had a whole dipper on this. Actually, I had a whole day on this. Remember, peace through strength. He believed it was absolutely necessary to have a muscular military and a fearless foreign policy. He was not going to equivocate on the world stage. It was about what is in the best interest of America, but also, by the way, being there for our friends. Peace through strength. You're going to want to be our friend. It's a whole lot better for you to be our friend than to be our enemy. That's the way it felt like under the Reagan. And by the way, the world responds to that. What are you seeing right now? No one could care less right now about being our friend, and they're certainly not worried about being our enemy. I mean, right now, they're just doing what they want to do. And yet, here's the biggest dog on the block standing here going, how come y'all are doing that? Because Biden's in charge. That's why. We're not leading from a peace through strength mode. The quote from Reagan again, we know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong, but when they are weak. It is then that tyrants are tempted. Number four, recommit, this is what I was talking about, to the faith and goodness of the American people. Reagan believed, it says, as the founding fathers did, that the enlightened individual, buoyed by their faith, is the ultimate source of American greatness. Faith in the dignity and the individual under God is the foundation for the whole American political experiment. He believed in the people. He trusted us. He trusted us to be citizens. As the president, he was not the man. He was just willing to be the guy who was up there signing the papers and making the decisions, but he believed in who we were as citizens. And then lastly, this, number five, he said we needed to recognize and rededicate ourselves to the uniqueness and the fragility of our American experiment. He pointed out, and he said it very clearly, I mean, even he was a student of history, and he believed that, quote, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and protected and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. So here's the thing, y'all. You can get down about the world right now. I get bummed about the world right now. I am grieving over the tragedies and the travesties that we're seeing right now in Israel. I am just beat up about our southern border. I am sucking wind on the economy. My personal businesses have also taken a hit because of Biden's economy. I have to pay the same prices at the fuel pump that everybody else does, and it has not been an easy year. I mean, it is something else trying run a 501c3 in a year when people are struggling to pay their own bills, much less support charitable organizations. There are things about this whole environment we're in that make me want to sit down sometimes and go, God Almighty. But then I realize that what I really need to do is say, God Almighty. God Almighty, you're in charge. You are bigger than this. And by your strength, I can get some things done. That's where we have to be, y'all. You can get busy living, or you can get busy dying. Coming up next, we'll be talking to Emily Jones, Madison chapter of Moms for Liberty. By the way, they got a big event this weekend. I'm planning on doing some shooting with them on Saturday. You guys stay tuned. Emily Jones coming up next. We'll be right back.